rightly handled, okay, we're going to be dealing with artrace, which is a Greek word that means to build a road, to open up a road. This is the etymology of the word. In your life, and hopefully that road you open is smooth, it's safe, and you always have that way. And I think all of you know what the true way is. And that's how you build your road. Open your Bibles, if you would. We're going to start with Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, with that word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." That means in your mind. Excuse me. You keep my word, my orders, my plan of the day. Let it be yours. And there's no gender in this. It means family. Verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." You know, as long as you do that, he blesses you. That's why you have a long life. He takes care of you. And, of course, everything to his plan. But if you want to find peace, you've got to go to the Prince of Peace. Verse 3, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." That's to say, in your very mind. Let mercy, that's love and truth, be there. It will always lead you. Compassion is a mark of God's election. Verse 4, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." You know, that's a lot. Our Father, as long as you follow his word, it pleases him. But men are kind of hard to please sometimes because maybe they don't know where you're coming from. Maybe they're a little bit on the other side of the road. But God always understands. But if you use common sense and you know how to reach them, I've not found anyone yet that's not reachable. Verse 5, I'm talking about human beings. 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." Sometimes your own understanding can lead you astray. You have to check it out in God's word. That's what his commandments are about. If you want his blessings, if you want that peace of mind, if you want a long life, then certainly you do it his way. Now, the next verse is the reason we came here. And it reads, verse 6, "In all thy ways," that's your path, your road, "acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." In other words, he will make that road smooth for you. Do you know what this word way here is? It is direct. Isn't that amazing? He will direct you in the right direction. Have you ever been lost, needed directions? I'm quoting the Hebrew word here, D-E-R-E-K, direct, which I'm sure our word direction comes from it, that you want to always head in that right direction. He will always bless you for it. He will always lead you. Languages fascinate me. They really do. How near sometimes they come, it's obvious we're one family because as the Latin welds most languages together, certainly Hebrew does, the English and others. So there you have it, his path. And in all thy ways acknowledge him. Every path you take, ask him. Discuss it with him. That's what prayer is about. And he shall direct thy path. He will give you the correct direction. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, for fear the Lord, and depart from evil. And one more verse, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Turn on with me to the Proverbs 11. Well, I have a new Bible, and I mean it's stuck. There. Chapter 11. Verse 1, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. You know, a lot of people think they can get away with anything they want to by setting up false witness, false balance, maybe cheating a little bit here and cheating there. You're not fooling him. He knows. And he considers it not just a little sin. He considers it an abomination. And so it is. You cannot teach God's word. You cannot be a witness for him. Whoever you are, layperson, minister, whatever. You can't do that and not be right with people. Because they will spot you, but the main thing is, God will. What happens when, if he considers you a thing of abomination, what does he do? He cuts you off. You can study all you want to, you can do whatever you want to, as long as you do it for devious reasons, you're not going anywhere. Because he's not going to release any deeper truths to you in the simplicity in which Christ teaches. So doing right by yourself and your friends, nobody's perfect. And certainly I found that out the hard way in my own life. About the time I think I'm there, well, something happened, just like an old mule we used to have. Granddad decided if we could, the only thing, we didn't have to buy gas or anything, if we could break him from eating, it would be really thin, but about the time we got him broke, he died. So, you know, so there's nobody perfect. Things happen. But that's not cheating. That's what God's talking about here. He does not like that. You mess up every once in a while, maybe he even smiles when you try to get back in the harness. But to purposely have a false set of scales, you're going nowhere. That's very, very important. And it's too bad that we have people, even in politics today, that do not take that for granted. Verse 2, treasuries of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. You could have all the money in the world, it's not going to do you any good if you get it the hard way, crooked way. But righteousness will get you eternal life. Verse 3, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He's going to bless you. You know, many of you probably have been at a place and prayed about it, and you thought, man, I don't know how we're going to work this out. And boom. It just falls in place when you pray about it, you talk about it. God makes it possible. Why? Because he loves you. And besides that, it's his word. It's his promise. And it's so easy to please him. You know why it's easy to please him? What does he want from you mostly? Love. He wants you to love him. And that is so easy to do, to love him for all he has done for us, that brings those blessings. Verse 4, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. They just get ahead. okay? And it's real sad. You have a generation that it would seem that through politics we try to have handouts, and people won't gimme, gimme, gimme. What did God say? You're not going anywhere. It is the diligent. That means those that use common sense, that save here and do the best they can there, and they're going places. Why? Well, not only are they wise, but their wisdom comes from God, and God's going to see to it. Okay, verse 5. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he, you know what? I'm in chapter 10. That's bad. And we're going to drop back here to the false balance with pride. I'm going to pick it up at verse 2 and catch up here, okay? Sorry about that. I guess he wanted that added. Who needed that? Okay. Verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly, that's to say the humble, is wisdom. It's going to come to you. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perversiveness of transgressors shall destroy them. They destroy themselves. They think they're getting ahead. They think they're so really ahead of the game. But who's keeping score? Not man. God is keeping score. And that's where you're going to see that where the chips fall. And they're not going to fall to the wicked. Verse 4, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivereth from death. It gives you eternal life. Verse 5, the righteousness of the perfect will direct his way. And there's that way direct again. I'm not talking about the English word. I'm talking about the word way in the Hebrew manuscript. It's your direction. Why? We know, again, you know who the way is. But the wicked shall fall down by his own wickedness. He destroys himself because of shortcuts, false balances, not even being honest sometimes with his own family. It's just, he's going nowhere. And certainly, again, who keeps score, family? No, God does. Verse 6, to complete here, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. That's the way it is. They do it to themselves. They destroy themselves. But we know that on that path that you cut in your life, that there is one that said, I am the way. And he is the only way. So from the Old Testament to the New, when you open a road in your life and make that decision, you make a road that is open, that is straight, straight to the Father's throne, whereby you know there, from there flow the blessings. And it is those blessings that give you success. You know, hard things happen to us at times that are difficult to understand. Don't let that weaken your faith. He is in charge. He knows what he's doing. And he has a reason for everything. Don't ever let your faith weaken. When you're being humble and trying to please God, and there may be troubles come along, don't let your faith weaken. He's got plans, and he's bringing together in these end times a people that can get it done. That's why he chose his election. Now, we're going to go to New Testament. Let's go to the book of Timothy. Make it 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. I'm going to pick it up in about verse 10 of chapter 2, the 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, rather, and verse 10. And it reads, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Therefore, I will endure all things for the elect's sake. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know, that's what's important in life. It's not what this day or next year brings, but the fact that there is a place waiting for you that is perfect. I mean, there's no storms. There's nothing that offends. Everything is put right, and everyone wants to be right, if you inherit that. That's why it's so important to work forward to that. When it comes to false balances, get rid of them. Shortcomings, best get rid of them. But he says, keep my word in your mind, right in your heart, which means your mind. And that pleases him, and when you please him, you can rest assured he's going to bless you in your endeavors. Verse 11, it is a faithful saying. You can count on it. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If you let your wants of following the world dissipate, die, go away, then you've inherited eternal life. In other words, even in the flesh, you can let the old flesh man just pass on, and that is to say, out of the way, and your spiritual self takes over. Should be giving your orders anyway. But some people like to let the flesh think for them, and that will always, unfortunately, lead you in a wrong direction. Verse 12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. So naturally, maybe you would like to tell somebody about the three earth ages, which you know is biblical. And they're going to make light of you, maybe. Don't let that bother you. Christ suffered for the truth and was called names for the truth. You probably will be too. But don't let that bother you, because if you have one person in your entire lifetime that you can have hear what you're saying and come to the Father, it's worth it, because that was a child of God that you assisted. Christ does the saving, but you sure assisted. That gives great reward. So never worry about, sometimes things go a little wrong. You're going to be called names for truth. Who cares? Okay. Verse 13, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So really, whether you believe or don't believe, it doesn't matter. He's always going to be on the throne. He's always going to be faithful. And that's kind of sad, because he's there for you if you reach out to him. And don't ever think, well, I just wish he would hear me. Don't worry, he hears you loud and clear. He probably hears more about you than you'd really like for him to know. And so he's in touch. You can count it, rest assured. So let him know you love him. That's what he wants from you. Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, he commands that. I don't want anything out of you, burnt offerings or anything. I want your love. Verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. In other words, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are or how much you know. When you're talking to a person, you go to their level, whatever that may be, spiritually speaking, and you feed them and bring them up. You subvert them. You cannot convert someone by going on about how intelligent you are, for all the good things God, a little bit of what good God has done to you doesn't hurt, but at the same time, go to that person. You know, the gift of teaching, the gift of reaching people, is to know you always have brand new listeners, first time. And you have to reach them as well, because why? That's the way we grow. If you cut off the first time listener, then your ministry is dead. But when you teach on levels, and you go to the level of that one and teach in a way that a child can understand, then your ministry is going to grow. Boy, are we blessed here at this chapel. We receive 300 to 400 and sometimes even more than that every day. New. We don't keep all of them, but we keep about 20-25% of them. What, you know, that's an average. That is good. And day in and day out, that growth is tremendous. What does it? God does. You know, man is so helpless on his own, with his own wisdom. But when you practice the wisdom of God, and when you live that example of letting God lead you, our Heavenly Father, then certainly you reach people. They can see it. You can't fool people. And certainly a set of false balances is not going to work there. All those negative things, it's out the window. But loving him and following his word and raising people up and preparing them for whatever it may be, we can handle it when we're in him. So, prophet is truth. Verse 15, why we came here. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, I said that the handling rightly was the title of this lecture. Can you guess what this word rightly means? Rightly is ortros. It's the word I told you. Build a road. Open it up. That, if you handle it rightly, it will help you build that road. And it won't have all the bad bumps in it. If you just build it smooth, let it flow from God's word. And the word dividing, it is to dissect correctly. A lot of people take the word, and yes, I'm going to study deep. I'm going to get into this. I'm going to survey. And they haven't got a clue. Okay. They're not dissecting it. Dissecting means you've got to go to the prime roots. You've got to go to the etymology of some words. You have to analyze it, and God will always bless you if you dissect that word correctly, not falsely, correctly, and back it up, because God's word will take care of itself if you have the ability to put it out, to share it, to plant seeds. It's so easy. Do you know that your very presence, when you have the Holy Spirit in you, plant seeds, just being yourself around people, it does. People are drawn to that, and they're drawn to you. Why? Because you have that spirit of truth. Why? Because you've dissected correctly and handled rightly and built the smooth road of understanding and followed that. There's only one way you can have that smooth road. We're going to go to it here in a moment. And in having that and gaining that, then you gain truth from Almighty God. And when he blesses you, you can't miss. Okay. He's going to see to it. You can't miss. You have the peace. You have solence, and so it is 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And we live in that generation when that's going to happen. It's around you every day. When you hear politicians that don't mind standing up and lying one lie after another, when an intelligent person, it's obvious it is a lie. Where's the credibility then? And what's happening to us? Well, God knows, so don't get all shook up. God always takes care of business. And he's in the process. Just ride easy and don't listen to babblings. Listen to your Father and let the word speak. Okay, we're going to go to the book of Hebrews. Skip about two books, Philemon, and Titus, Philemon, and go to Hebrews. And let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. Who was this book of Hebrews written to? You know, there's a lot of consternation among some scholars. They say, well, Paul didn't write this, it's not his style. Well, that's so dumb. Because naturally the style changed because he's writing to his own people. They know and understand. What does Hebrews mean? Let's dissect it. It comes from Eber. Do you know what that means in the Hebrew tongue? Those that crossed the river, that's to say the Euphrates, when they went into Babylon, from Babylon, that when they crossed that river, that's what Hebrews means, those that crossed the river. Those that came from the holy place and came across the river. That's what it means. So wherever you are lost and wherever you are, it's written to you. As if you be one of God's elect and one of those tribes, and or simply one that loves the Lord and loves to study his word. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. It wasn't heaven. It was a tent. Verse 2, for there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. That sanctuary means it's called the holy place. Not the holiest of all, but it was a holy place. It was a place to worship. Verse 3, and after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, here's the Holy of the Holies. Verse 4, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. That is to say, the very law of God. What do all these things consist of? Why are they there? Manna would only last one day. And here this lasted on and on and on. And as it's written in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, if you dissect the word, he'll give that manna to you. It's food. It's angels' food, but it's food from God in leading and directing. Why? What about Aaron's rod that budded, didn't die? Aaron was the priest, the Levi priest, the head priest over the tribes. A Levite had to go to each of the tribes to teach. And all the tribes were gathered together in that one rod, that blossom that didn't die. And how precious it is. And over all this, what else was in there? The commandments, the Ten Commandments. Today it gives us so much trouble. You try to nail those Ten Commandments to a public building and a scream comes forth and people get so rowdy because they're evil. God's word is good. You know, it is really, when you stop and think, it's quite amazing that the Ten Commandments are the best, they're made up from the best law there is. But if you try to put it on a law place, that is to say a courthouse, I mean, you got trouble, big trouble. But not with God. That's just with man, so be it. But those things are so important that were in there. They were symbolic. Do you know what? You don't even have to worry about those things today. You don't need that rod of Aaron, the Levitical staff. And you don't need that old tent. And you sure don't need that veil, because you know what happened to it. And verse 5 to continue. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Well, it was an awesome thing. But you have to speak of it. Why? Because one of those cherubims was who? It was the king of Tyrus, which is one of Satan's names. He was originally one of those cherubs that protected the mercy seat. He earned it, and then he went bad. Pride got him. Pride will do it to you if you allow it. When God gives you knowledge and wisdom, don't ever be prideful about it, or he'll pull it right on back. You'll lose it. So be humble before him and always be blessed. Verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, and they were, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. They preached and they taught and they led into that in that first sanctuary. Verse 7, on the other hand, though, but unto the second went the high priest alone, once every year, but without blood, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. There wasn't enough, really, to pay for it, I'll tell you. Verse 8, the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, which as the first tabernacle was yet standing. In other words, the real reason couldn't come in. Let's talk a minute. When did it really come open to you? When Christ died on the cross at 3 p.m., just at the time the crooked holy priest was supposed to walk in, God rent the veil of that Holy of Holies from top to bottom, where you don't need that tabernacle. He said, you come on in anytime. Through what? The way, the road, the path, the true path. It's there for you. That's the way you build it, is you build it on his word, dissecting the truth, never letting it fall from your mind. And within this, you're taught quite a lesson. There was one evil cherub, and he will bring much hurt to you if you allowed it, but you don't have to. You have power over him. So that's why, with that veil rent, you don't have to go through somebody that teaches God's word. You don't have to go through some priest. You walk right in boldly into the Holy of Holies because Christ said, come on in. I've opened it up for you. He is now. When he resurrected that third day, he was the many-membered tabernacle body of Christ. And that is the new building, is his ministry, his people, and you can go in anytime you need him. You don't need a go-between. Well, how do I pray? You talk to him, you know? If you, it's really simple. A lot of people say, well, I need to write me out a prayer. No, you don't. If you have a friend, and your friend, if you're planning, let's say, you're planning a shopping trip, and you're going, you want to go to one place, they want to go to another, so the two of you, what do? You talk it over and arrange it so that you both can end up where you want to be and have your thing, but you had to talk about it to get it arranged. Well, that's what prayer is with God, is talking. If you have a problem, tell him. He hears you. That tabernacle is open. It's wide open. And you don't have to crawl in. You can boldly, when you love him, enter into that tabernacle because you know the way, the path. That's why this path is rightly handled. It's so very important. Dissecting the word where you're qualified and your simple love to him and your understanding opens that path, and he says, come in, child. God wants you to. He made it real easy for you. And praise God, that's the way it is, okay? And so we're going to go then with I'm going to do six. And now, when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always to the first. We got that, accomplished that. But into the second, we got that. Verse 8, the Holy Spirit, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. But as we discussed, it is now. And you can boldly enter. 9, which was a figure of the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not, I repeat, could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. It didn't cut it, wasn't the right handle rightly. Verse 10, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. And that reformation is our time. That's when it happened. So, always remembering in that verse 8 that you have, when you read verse 8, and it says that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet made. It is now. That's why you have to rightly handle and make that road. Open it and walk in. Verse 11 here. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. What building was it then? Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having ordained eternal redemption for us. If you take it, if you look for it, if you reach out, if you touch him. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, even a red one, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify us to the purifying of the flesh. 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That's what he wants from you. Well, how do I serve him? Just talk to him. Let him know you're available. Tell him good morning, if nothing else. When you wake up in the morning, tell him good morning. And most of all, tell him you love him. And ask him for help through the day if you need it. It makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours, as you know you can count on it. He is so precious, and he's there for you. here's where you have to be real careful. You know, time and experience kind of takes out the would-be's. Well, just like this. I just wish I could believe. I believe a little bit. No, you don't. You either have faith to know that God created this earth, that he sent that son for one and all times, that blood that redeems. And if you love him and are worthy, he wants you to come in. But remember from this lecture that when you go our trace, let's work on your part. Is that you open the road. Didn't say you build it. You open it. You open it by your faith, by your understanding, and by his leading, and walk in. Because there's no other way to have eternal life than to follow his word and to have his blessings in your life. And then we would go to verse 15, and it would read, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." That's why it's so important. You know, this place, when this earth is put back in its proper alignment, and the firmament goes back where it was originally, this is one beautiful place. You know, a lot of people say, well, how are you sure about that? Well, we've got pretty good proof today. You've seen pictures of Mars and the moon. You want to go there? Want to live there? Want to go fishing there? Want to be comfortable there? No. And when they look back at this planet called Earth and take a picture, it's beautiful. It's our home. And God's going to reclaim it just as he reclaims us, and put it in order where it will be, that eternal life is so worth working for. It's so worth opening that road of understanding, because it's forever. And you know, you're not in a flesh body. You know, flesh bodies, they weigh pretty good, and when you stand between the bones of your foot and the floor, your flesh gets mashed pretty good. It can even ache sometimes, you know. But in a spirit body, there, you don't have any of those holdbacks. You're free. And you are comfortable. That's why that age has nothing to do with a spirit body. That's why age means nothing to God. He's the same yesterday, he is today, and he is forever. I had a question from someone, and it's fine. So how could he be? He's an old man. How could he do? Look, he's not. Age doesn't have anything to do with the spiritual body. That's why you can call it eternal. And that's why working towards that eternity is so very important. Now to complete, back to St. John, that we just had on television. We just taught it, didn't we? St. John chapter 14 and verse 3. You know what leads to this. Father says, in my house are many mansions. The word in the Greek is moni, which means resting places. You don't have to go to heaven to enjoy that rest. You can enjoy it today. Verse 3, St. John 14. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Verse 4, "And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. The path. You know it. Verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. And how can we know the way? That's your road. That's your path. How can we know the path? Jesus, bear in mind, these people walked with him. They saw the miracles. Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way. Don't ever forget that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there is no way you can. He opened that road for you. That's why he can say, I am. That's the sacred name. I am the way. So you go to him, talk to him, let him know that you love him, that you want that eternal life. And, you know, that peace of mind is here today for those that wish to choose it. Or you can go the other way. It's your choice. Verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. That really threw them. How did they see the Father? Because if you've seen Christ, you've seen the Father. He was Emmanuel, God with us. God looks just like that. Verse 8, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffice us. Boy, I mean, you know, Christ had a lot of patience. Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me, God dwelling in him. And do you know something? He dwells in you today through the Holy Spirit, if you let him. That's the secret to opening the road, is to recognize his Spirit. The Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. You know, he paid an awesome price to rent that veil that you can walk in. I mean, that's the holiest of holies. That's where the very mercy seat sits. And you can walk right into it and lay your word right out and let him know always that you love him. He is that way. There is no other. That, a lot of religions resent that, and that's understandable. But it's still true. And thank God that's why we have the millennium. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for the path. Thank you for the way. Thank you for allowing us to dissect the word, Father, to handle it rightly in our lives daily, that we can be a blessing to those that need that word, and strengthen them and bless this whole family. We ask it in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
That's who they are, and that is their race. And Semper Fi right back to you. Salute. I'm proud of your family. Sarah from Pennsylvania. Pastor Murray, I have a picture of our Lord Jesus in my home. My son says I should not have any graven image or pictures hanging. No, that's a bunch of malarkey, okay? I mean, I'm not degrading your son. What institutes a image? That is to say, an idol. It's something you worship. You don't worship a picture, you worship Almighty God spiritually speaking. So that little picture is not going to harm you one iota because you do not worship it. So people get so confused and like to make so many no-nos and don't-dos and do-dos till Lord only knows. It's bad enough to be a Christian when you have to oppose Satan. But as long as you don't worship it, you leave her hanging there and tell the little feller, bless him. Linda from New Jersey, in Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8, a command from Jesus to his 12 disciples. My question is he speaking only to the 12, or is it meant for his saints also? Well, what is it about? It's telling you how to go out and teach. It's to take the gospel forth, and it's very present to this day. If we didn't have the Holy Spirit leading us, guiding us, assisting us in research, and listening to him, we'd be in a heap of hurt. So don't ever let anyone tell you that the Holy Spirit has left us and it was just for the 12 and they're all dead. Okay. First off, it wasn't just for the 12. Secondly, they're not all dead. They're with the Father. Very much alive in their spiritual bodies. And the teaching is very much for us today on how to go out and take the Word of God, okay? And it still applies. Joel from North Carolina. My name is Joel. I am 5 years old. My mom and I watch Shepherd's Chapel every day, and I have a question. I am looking forward to when Satan is cast in the pit, and we'd like to know how big the pit is that he will be in. Thank you. Well, Joel, you're all right. Have your mother turn to Isaiah chapter 14 and take verse 15 and 16. And what do you find there? You find that Lucifer, the son of the morning, falls from heaven and he's cast into a pit. And many people will walk up to the edge of that pit and look upon him. So it's small enough that we can still see him. And they say, is this the Ish? Is this the man that deceived the whole world? So that's how big the pit is, and maybe your mother will explain that to you. Thanks for the question. Charles from Oklahoma. Do you think it's possible for one of God's elect to commit the unpardonable sin? What if they used Ouija boards and the spirits there, but have since come into the truth and know Satan comes first? Can an elect lose their salvation? I don't think so. Well, elect could lose their salvation if you went bad enough. Christ is not going to leave you, but you can sure leave him. But as far as the elect being deceived by Satan, that is to say, to refuse the Holy Spirit, I can't see it. I can't buy it. I know God's elect pretty well. I know a lot of them. And if anything, they're going to talk too much. Christ said, "Let you be quiet and let the Holy Spirit do the talking." They're ready to go. And I don't think any of them will commit the unpardonable sin, which is to refuse the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12, verse 10, to refuse the Holy Spirit to speak through you when you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan. Linda from Arizona, where in Scripture does it say for us not to eat pork? Leviticus chapter 11. Also, many people are deceived by not thinking in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. Don't let any man judge you in marriage or partaking of food that God created to be received. Now there's the catcher. That God created to be received. He did not create scavengers to be received. They'll make you sick. And then it will continue on and say all animals are good, and they are for the purpose God created them for. Scavengers clean disease off of this earth, but you don't. Then you don't partake of that scavenger, or you're eating the dirt that came off the earth. So you eat what God told you to. He created these bodies. He knows what makes them tick. That God created to be received. Chris from Georgia, my question today is on false teaching. Why do false teachers seem to be so prosperous and get away with false teaching for so long? I know the Bible teachers that teachers will be held, I know that teachers will be held accountable, but are the students today just as responsible, especially since we now know and have our own Bibles to study, whereas the believers prior to having Bibles were dependent on the priest reading the... Everybody is responsible, okay? We're all responsible because we do have our own Bibles. Don't worry about preachers that seem to be prosperous. Their days are chalked off. Read Ezekiel chapter 13, the first 20 verses. It'll help you. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy God's word. Most of all, God loves you for it. You know, it makes his day when you study his word, the letter he sent to you. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to make yours. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me. You listen good. You stay in his word. Every day in it is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645. 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the mark of the beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan. Thank you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. We're going to get into our Father's Word. I kind of want to talk on a subject that I think sometimes we get a little careless with, and that's Thanksgiving. You know, our Father gives us so many things. And I want to take an example of someone here on earth. If you really